Be not weary in well-doing. 1905. Our churches are often appealed to for gifts and offerings to aid missionary enterprises in the home field and to sustain foreign missionary work. Let us not become impatient because we are often asked to give a portion of the means entrusted to us for the upbuilding of the cause. Just now, the work in Washington demands our immediate consideration. Recent developments in Washington show that the removal of the General Conference offices to that city was a right move, and a move made none too soon. As soon as the sum asked for the work in Washington is made up, other important cities must receive consideration. Our churches have shown much liberality, but they have not done all that they are able to do. Some have carried very heavy burdens, but there are others who are not willing to deny self. I appeal to every family of believers in our land to consecrate themselves to the work of soul saving, pledging themselves to advance the Lord's work by every means within their power. Let the older ones repress the desire to gratify self, and let the children be taught to save their pennies for the Lord. Let parents take up the cross of self-sacrifice, which lies so plainly in the pathway to holiness. Let the young men and young women who are tempted to expend means to gratify self say, "No, I will not rob the cause of God by spending money for that which is useless." Let the students in our schools and the children in our Sabbath schools be diligently trained in liberality. Short, interesting articles should be prepared for their study, articles that will arouse in them a desire to give to the cause of God. The habit of liberality should grow with their growth and strengthen with their strength. They should early be taught to lay by their pennies, so that they will have something to give when God's servants make a call for help. Let them be taught that they can be the helping hand of the Lord by adding their gifts to the means placed in the treasury. The work to be done in our world should be kept before them, and they should be encouraged and helped to prepare themselves for active service. Let them be dedicated to God's service while the dew of youth is yet upon them. Let not our church members complain because they are so often called upon to give. What is it that makes the frequent calls a necessity? Is it not the rapid increase of missionary enterprises? Shall we, by refusing to give, retard the growth of these enterprises? Shall we forget that we are laborers together with God? From every church, prayers should ascend to God for an increase of devotion and liberality. Those whose hearts are knit together with the heart of Christ will be glad to do what they can to help the cause of God. They will say, "I will do my best. Whatsoever others may do, my duty is clear." They will rejoice in the continual expansion and advancement that means larger and more frequently given offerings. My brethren and sisters, do you plead for retrenchment in evangelical work? Read the closing verses of Matthew's Gospel, which contains the seal of the workers' commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. This commission cannot be fulfilled unless workers are educated and sent forth and sustained. God's people are to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So long as there are souls to save, their interest in the work of soul saving is to know no abating. If we expect to feel in our lives the moisture and dew of heaven, we must improve every opportunity to strengthen every line of work that will extend the knowledge of God in our world. Neither pray I for these alone, Christ said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. John 17, verse 20. The truth for this time must be carried to those who have never heard it. Not all can go as missionaries to foreign lands, but all can do the work waiting for them in their own neighborhood. All can give of their means for the carrying forward of foreign missionary work. All can be partakers of the divine nature. There is not a Christian in the world but that is the fruit of Christ's death. And he gave himself, not only for those now united with him, but for all human beings.
There are schools and meeting houses to be built and sanitariums to be established. There are new fields to be entered, and we must have your help. Shall we ignore the commission given us, and thus forfeit the promise accompanying the commission? Shall the people of God become careless and indifferent, and refuse to lay by of their means for the advancement of his work? Can they do this without severing their connection with him? They may think thus to economize, but it is a fearful economy that places them where they are separated from Christ. Let God's people pay a faithful tithe, and let them also, from parents to children, lay aside for the Lord the money that is so often spent for self-gratification. Practice self-denial in the home, and then, when calls for help are made, you will have something to give. Let those who are poor give what they can. However small the offering may be, the Lord will recognize the self-sacrifice and will bless the giver. A sanitarium is greatly needed near the city of Washington. In the providence of God, such an institution will be the means of bringing a knowledge of the truth to those in high places. Sanitariums are the right hand of the gospel. In them, the sick are to be taught that sin is the transgression of the law, and that it is this transgression that brings disease and suffering. In our sanitariums, temperance in all its bearings is to be taught. Those who are suffering as the result of a wrong course of action are to be shown the necessity of reform in their habits of life. They have violated the laws of health. By the eating of flesh meat and of rich, highly spiced food, they have injured the digestive organs. And if they would get well, they must adopt a simple, wholesome diet. Those in charge of our sanitariums are to give clear instruction regarding these things. Medical missionaries are to be ministers of the gospel, showing the sick that by violating the laws of life and health, they are deranging the machinery of the body. There are many who do not realize the necessity of carefully guarding the living machinery. Their minds are to be aroused to the harm they are doing themselves by indulging in wrong habits, by intemperance in eating and drinking. They are to be shown the necessity of discarding the use of alcohol and tobacco in every form. Our physicians are to go to the root of the matter, showing that sickness and suffering do not come from God, but are the result of a wrong course of action. Our sanitarium work opens doors whereby suffering humanity may be reached with the glad tidings of healing through Christ. In these institutions, the sick may be taught to commit their cases to the great physician, who will cooperate with their earnest efforts to regain health, bringing them healing of soul as well as healing of body. A sanitarium is needed at Tacoma Park, that his work may be carried forward. Will not those who have means regard it as a privilege to give something toward this work, that the needed fund may soon be raised? The Lord will certainly bless those who cheerfully return to him his own. I call upon our people, while the way is still open, to do earnest work, to rally round the standard, to answer the call that has been made for the completion of the $100,000 fund. Come up to the help of the Lord against the mighty. This work is the Lord's, and he calls upon those who have means to bring their gifts to the treasury for the advancement of his work.